To be or not to be, that is not the question for today. Today we are again joining Pinellas County Schools digital learning team as we bring you tales from the tech side. Today's episode, we want to talk about how technology plays a role in producing quality educators. I have two very special guests with me. They're going to introduce themselves. And so, can we begin with?
Yeah, hello. My name is Jolene Jackson, and I am the Director of Professional Development here in Pinellas County Schools. My background in education, I started as an elementary school teacher. I taught fourth grade, second grade, and kindergarten. From there, I became an instructional coach, where I primarily focused on coaching elementary literacy. From there, I went into administration, and I have served as an assistant principal, a principal, and I've also been a coordinator for curriculum and assessment. This is my first year as the director of professional development here in Pinellas County. Prior to this position, I was director of teaching and learning in Kansas City for a school district named Piper. And just really, really happy to be here. This is my going on my 11th month here in Pinellas County, and it is a great experience.
Well, welcome, Jolene.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Next.
All right. My name is William Alligood. I also work in professional development as a senior professional development coordinator. Prior to this position, I started in Pinellas County Schools as an elementary teacher. I primarily taught fourth grade and fifth grade. And then I took the opportunity to apply for a grant position in professional development. So I coordinated a grant that was with St. Pete College. And that led to this senior professional development coordinator position.
Thank you, William. Again, welcome, and we're glad to have you. So I would share some of my background, but if you're a listener, go check an old episode because I've already shared that before. So we're going to dive right in. So I am a little bit of a nerd. I read a lot of research. One of the biggest things that we do as educators is we constantly look for what is that thing that most impacts learning, teaching and learning for students? And out of all the studies, the one thing that has shown to always be significant is the quality of the person that is presenting the information. So having a highly qualified, caring teacher has the biggest effect size. And so for those that don't know, professional development is where you guys try to provide teachers those things to make them better, because in education, things are always changing, growing, developing. And so can you share historically some of what does the professional development department do to support that whole making teachers highly qualified and caring?
Well, historically, professional development has always been the support that has provided the professional development needed, the training needed for teachers. So we look at all sorts of data. We look at the needs of our district, the needs of certain schools, and we try to make sure that the right people are providing professional development with the right content that's going to move that school or that as a district as a whole, depending on what direction we're going. So there's sort of two levels to that. There's the school level, because as we know, if you've been part of a school, you have professional development at the site. So there's site-based professional development, but there's also a district level, which is where our department lies. But even though we're at the district level, many times we're providing support to the sites. So if a site reaches out and they say, you know, we'd really like to focus our school on facilitating complex tasks with our students. So they'll reach out to us and we'll provide that school-level support. Maybe it's working to build capacity for the trainers at that, or sometimes it's us giving the training, or we're working alongside the teachers at the school to build that training. Historically, we also have that that plan, do, study, act. As we've, you know, back in the day, that was what we all talked about, and that really hasn't gone away totally. But we don't say necessarily words plan, do, study, act. But that's really what we're doing, is we're looking at, you know, what are the needs of the schools, what are the needs of our district, And then we act on that, right? We study it, we plan it out, and we act on that.
Okay. Well, thank you. Because I was just going to say, can you explain a little bit more about what plan, study, do, act is? Because not everyone that listens is in the education field. So mm-hmm. thank you for providing a little bit of that. So historically, we're going along. You guys are supporting schools. You're supporting individual teachers. And then something happens in 2019, 2020, bam, pandemic comes. How does it affect now you supporting teachers? Because teachers are now doing something that they've never been asked to do before. And so how did you guys adjust or change to meet that new demand?
Well, you think pre-pandemic, that role of our professional development department takes a teacher through the journey from the moment they step through our door, right, those first steps as a new teacher, all the way through to leadership opportunities, right? So making sure that that onboarding experience is good, making sure they are provided a mentor, all the support through that whole journey of now I've got experience, now I want to become a mentor as a teacher, I want to support other teachers to maybe one day I want to be a school leader, right? And so professional development plays a role in each of those steps. And that was always provided in person, right, in a physical location. Accessibility was sometimes a problem. So I am working North County, but the training's only available in the South County. And we know that could be a good hour drive. Mm-hmm. And I teach middle school, so I'm not done until a certain time, right? And so accessibility was always a problem. Those in-person trainings, those physical copies, you know, I got a great handout, but now I lost it because it's now in the shuffle of all the rest of my papers. And, you know, there was a lot of transactional PD happening. So a lot of sit and get, you know, we want to just disseminate all this information. That's awesome. It's really great. But we pack it all in, right? Then the pandemic happened. And I think it was a blessing in disguise because it allowed for everyone to take a pause and think, what is most critical at the time, right? What really needs to happen? What professional development do we need to ensure teachers have access to, and how are we going to get them access to that so they can continue to do the job they're doing? So, as you know, in digital learning, you guys took a big pivot, as we was the word of the day. We took a pivot. Professional development also took a pivot. So immediately, you know, not only are we transitioning all of our courses in our professional learning network that were scheduled to happen that suddenly weren't happening, but we're shifting those to let's do that online. And now let's support those professional development specialists, those content specialists that are providing PD and transitioning their PD to online. So some of that was happening through Teams and some of that was happening through Office 365 and some were using Zoom at the time. But we all took that shift. And so we had to think, what information do we need to be sharing right now? Why is this important? And really focus on those most important pieces. And since then, what that's led to is us really taking a look as a district and saying, you know what, maybe we need to take a moment to slow down, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to focus more on something that's transformational, not just transactional. We're not just disseminating information anymore, but we want to make sure that we focus on those critical pieces. When we have a training, let's make it accessible all the time, mm-hmm. even if it's not a pandemic anymore, right? We're still going to make sure it's accessible. Sometimes it's online, sometimes it's blended, sometimes, you know, it's going to be in person, whatever is most accessible to those participants. And then let's whittle the content down to just what's needed mm-hmm. to shift practice, to shift behaviors, to shift beliefs.
Right. And since we don't all have to gather, I think a lot of times we think, okay, well, if we're going to have people drive an hour to training, then we should probably make it 3 hours long. And that those essential outcomes that we talk a lot about, we can now offer more bite-sized PD in hour segments because we can offer it online. You hop on. We can have a blended platform. And I think that both makes the training just in time. You know, it's like I can get these bite-sized pieces instead of having to just feel like I'm just getting so much information pushed at me at one time. And then more and more people can, and then it creates a work-life balance as well, is that you could actually get a really great training in an hour and a half, and still be with your family, still cook a meal, and have an evening to yourself.
Okay. So I've been in the district long enough to know the pre-pandemic, and then I went through the pandemic, and I'm still here, knock on wood, currently. Post-pandemic, if we can say we're post-pandemic, right, whatever state we're in now. And so I've seen and witnessed that shift. And so this is the digital learning chill, so we have to tie technology in. So I have a question. Does technology help or hinder training? And if so, how?
Yeah, great question. I think it's a little bit of both. And it also really, I believe, depends upon the facilitator as well. We most recently engaged in a book study together as a department called the PD book. And it talks about it, one of the reasons why we chose it. It's one of the few professional development books out there that really highlights that blended learning. And so as a facilitator, you need to be, well, I guess what I'd say, you know, your fingers and your knowledge and all of those things to use those tools to increase engagement. I know, as I'm sure, one of the things that you oftentimes think about when you are educating teachers, we're not just using this tool because it's a really cool tool. We're using this tool because it is a tool that's going to increase our engagement. And so you want to make sure as a facilitator that you, that technology, we've all been there when that technology doesn't work and then it like slows down our the flow of the PD, and it can really break down just that our confidence level or the participation with our participants. And so, you know, when you choose a tool, you really want to think about how is it going to make it collaborative. And so there are a lot of tools out there that are resourceful. Like we've used Padlet quite a bit to engage in kind of, if because we can't have chart papers where we're going to different corners in the room and talking, but you can utilize Padlet to get everyone's thoughts out there. And that can be a great opportunity to capture thoughts and then use it as a conversation tool and that sort of thing. Or using like Nearpod to really have engagement with your slides. So it's not just a, you know, we've all heard that phrase, death by PowerPoint, right? Well, that's a great tool that we can really utilize that really keeps us engaged in the content. But then on the hindrance side, I mean, I've led a PD this year, and I'm stepping back as a facilitator and looking at, okay, what kind of norms, and we talk a lot about conditions for learning, right? We have to have conditions for learning even in our online training. And so going back and setting those norms, and what I was about to say is, you know, I've been leading a PD and someone's like, oh, hold on, I'm dropping off my kids at soccer. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. And so we want to set up those conditions where we are still professionals and we are in that professional setting and that we are treating it like I am here. I'm fully, my body is fully engaged in this. My mind is fully engaged in it. And so it's looking at as we continue down this journey of utilizing online learning as a platform, how do we create those conditions for learning so that technology is fully increasing that engagement and not allowing us to back away from that level of integrity or impeccability in in-person training might be. Do you want to add something about that? Because I think it's not just, you know, I focus just a little bit on how technology more in that virtual setting, but we can also utilize and leverage technology in our in-person training and how that can be both beneficial and hindrance as well.
Yeah, it's definitely beneficial. It's exciting to see where technology is going and the kinds of things you can do with technology. I mean, everything from those online platforms that really support processing thinking out loud and making thinking visible, any kind of tool that sort of is, it becomes a vehicle for making thinking and learning visible helps a trainer. Doesn't just help teachers in the classroom. It helps us be able to see how our teachers processing the information and being able to see and monitor really their learning, right, that's going on. But it could be a distraction, right? And whether it's in person or online, you know, those kinds of distractions, you know, if I'm using as a facilitator technology that I'm not familiar with or I'm very uncomfortable with, mm-hmm. now as a facilitator, that's sort of where my mind is. Instead of the content I'm so passionate about, my mind's on, oh no, I hope this tool works, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, one thing we learned from our book study is, you know, that we really need to be self-aware of our skills about the technology we're using, practicing ahead of time. If we're really thinking, yeah, this is the right tool for the content, then I need to practice that and mm-hmm. practice using it before I'm trying to lead a group. But we also make the assumption, I think even since the pandemic, it's even probably more so happening, is the assumption that everybody knows how to use Teams. Everybody knows how to use Office 365. Everybody knows how to use, you know, Word or, dare I say, Excel, right? So everybody knows how to use these things, but that's not true, right? It is still, we're still in a world that's in transition, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can't make the assumption that all of the participants in front of us know how to use mm-hmm. Some of the tools that we use every day. And so we have to make sure that we're building the conditions for learning, whether it's in person or online, that allow for that learning to occur. And that's okay, but we need to make that adjustment, right? So, you know, one of the things we're trying to do as a department is ensure that there are technology trainings available for people needing to learn basic technology skills. Mm-hmm. So that when they go to training, some of these barriers are overcome and training becomes more accessible. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I provide training, and I've provided training through my various different roles in the district. and so I've seen exactly what you two have seen. I've seen that, you know, there's a lack of professionalism or accountability when you're doing a virtual training. I've also seen that when you're doing an in-person training and the technology becomes a hindrance where either the technology doesn't work or the person that's operating, the facilitator is not, you know, proficient in the technology, or the participants that you're expecting to use the technology, mm-hmm. they don't have the prerequisite knowledge or mm-hmm. skills. And so as you started in, is there's a focus or a need for training on technology that has shown us. So how does your department do that, help to provide that training on technology so that teachers can just have a basis of, okay, where do I go now? Because we're not going to avoid it, right? Society is moving ever so swiftly mm-hmm. to digital everything. We were having a conversation today at lunch, and we were talking about how if you're in the line to pay for anything, no one pulls out a wallet or purse. They pull out their phone and it's a tap and go. And so how are you guys supporting teachers in their acquisition of technology skills?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you brought up a really great question, is that we can no longer shy away from using those tools because of thinking, well, if they don't know how to use it, it's going to break down the progress of our training. But that technology is going to continue to exist, and it's going to continue to just perpetuate and grow rapidly. And so we as humans need to keep up just as rapidly as this technology is. And so I think it's really important to, as we use these tools, is to build in supports for when a participant might be struggling, or even the facilitator. And so a lot of times what we recommend is that if facilitation, for example, is to have more than one facilitator so that one person can keep the content going while the other person is supporting people with the technology. And then also you can strategically place people who you know are in your professional development to either, if you are doing breakout groups, to kind of have someone who's a little more well-versed in that technology. But then even, I think we want to have these skills transferred to the classroom as well, which as a digital learning facilitator, like you use these tools and you're using them with teachers and you're teaching them how to use the tools sometimes. And sometimes you're using them just to, as the teacher, to teach the students or the participants in your training. But it's like making that technology piece transferable so that they can start using it more. And so it's kind of like a win-win. You're getting, you know, you get to accomplish both the content and also accomplish an outcome of making people a little more well-versed or fluent in the use of the tools.
Okay. Excellent conversation. I have a question for both of you. Preference, in-person or virtual PD facilitating?
Are we taking a vote?
No, you're what?
So can I? I'm gonna be mean and I'm gonna say I'm gonna play the middle road. I actually prefer a blended approach. I think that has been one of the most effective ways to have opportunity to meet online, to have opportunity to access resources online, but also have opportunity to meet in person. Mm-hmm. And support the work in person. I think if you have the time and the ability to schedule it in a way that's blended, mm-hmm. that is very impactful. But if that's not an option, if we have to pick a side, I'm going to say in person provides that those conditions for learning that are easier to set up. Mm-hmm. As a facilitator, you're able to build, you know, one of our core values is around building community and connectedness. Mm-hmm. And I think that in-person training, there's nothing that can replace what we're doing right now. Right now, we're in person and we feel connected as as three people. And that is difficult when you're at your home and there's pets and there's kids and there's a really good dinner cooking in the other room, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm less able to really connect with my peer in an authentic way than if I'm, you know, face to face with someone.
Yeah, and there's so much in that in-person piece. There's a relationship that also gets built, which is why we talk a lot about the blended opportunities. It's like, well, we know the great benefits of the, we talked about them already, the less travel time, that work-life balance, self-paced, where you can choose a time that really works for you. So we know the benefits of the asynchronous or the online gathering together that way. We also know the benefit of gathering together and that relationship piece. We are humans. We want to connect. We want it. We connect to stories. We connect in that way. And so, yeah, I'm going to have to go with the similar answer that my buddy William just shared, is that I would say blended, you know, and knowing that in person is the preference, and at the same time, we don't want to give up. It's that time is such a precious element as well with our lives, and I think it helps.
I think of if work is your extended family, right? Mm-hmm. Would you only want to see your family online? Don't answer that. But most of us probably would prefer at least once every 10 years, you know, to see family in person. You know, I have kids, you know, that are going to leave the house. And I know that I hope that they don't only meet with me on Teams, right? Mm-hmm. That every so often, at least, they'll come for a face-to-face, because that's a connection. Mm-hmm. And I want to share this. You can edit it out later if you want. But I actually had a meeting today with someone that I've been working with for the last 3 years. Lots of support, lots of regular communication on Teams. And when she came for this meeting, she said, "Do you know this is the first time we met in person?" And I was like, "No way. That's impossible." She's like, "Nope. We first met during the pandemic." And I was like, "You know what? You're right." And even though I felt like I had connected with her, we had never met in person. And so I guess it shows you that it is possible to connect virtually, but it isn't quite the same. She said that's why she wanted to come in person today, is because we've only met online and she wanted to meet me in person. Mm. So.
Okay.
What do you think, James?
Of course.
What do you have to say?
No, just currently, I fortunately, I was not in the classroom during the pandemic, and I did not have to try and do simultaneous teaching. Mm-hmm. We did support teachers doing simultaneous teaching. So when you guys talk about blended, that's where my mind goes to, is that vision of I've got people at home as well as in person.
That's hybrid.
And so
that's a good distinct between hybrid and blended.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So we'll come back and after I answer and you guys can give me more information about that. But that's where my mind went when you guys said blended. I was like, wait, I'm a facilitator and I got people I'm trying to be responsible for sitting at the house and I got people in person. Mm-hmm. But we'll circle back. Mm-hmm. But my preference, during the pandemic, we did all our trainings virtually, and I miss the ability to have more of an interaction, more collaboration, that relationship piece. And then I also facilitate some self-paced classes that are totally online. And like when I go in to grade and I'm reading some of the responses and the posts that people are putting, I'm like, man, I wish I could have that person in front of me right now so we could further delve into this. Mm-hmm. So my preference is face-to-face because it allows me as a facilitator to expand, you know, those teachable moments, those little conversations, comments that just takes us down a pathway that may have not been originally in the PD. But it's a perfect opportunity because you can look in the people's eyes and see they want more or to go deeper. So for me, it's more of a in-person would be my preference. Mm-hmm. So I know, you know, people don't like you say, I'm South County and I have to drive North County to, and so there's so many restrictions, but I still prefer in-person myself. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I want to circle back so that you guys can explain to me the difference between hybrid and blended, because I was thinking the blended was so like simultaneous.
I said
teaching.
Blended. I'll clarify that. And do you want to talk about hybrid?
Sure.
All right. So the blended approach, you're still facilitating the group in front of you in a synchronous way, right? So synchronous learning is happening, whether it's on Teams, whether it's in person. So I could say, you know what, we're going to do this first session in person. We're going to build some community among our people, right? And then in 2 weeks, we're going to meet again. And between now and in 2 weeks, I want you to post a video on Flip or Flipgrid so that you can share your progress. And that's going to be asynchronous. So now we're more blended. And now when we meet in 2 weeks, we're going to check in on Teams. And we're going to spend an hour on Teams. You don't even have to drive. You can do it right from your classroom. And let's check in again to see how that progress is going. So there's this ongoing support. It's not just a sit and get one and done. But now I'm not only teaching you a skill, but there's an expectation that you're putting it into practice. And then there's accountability because we're talking about it, right? So you share with me, James, what you did during the week. And I'm going to share with you how it went for me. And maybe you have some ideas to help some barriers that I faced, right? And then maybe in a few more weeks, we meet again in person. So there's this ongoing feedback that's happening, and it happens in person, and it happens online. And so there's a blended learning going on.
Yeah. And then hybrid, that would be where you have basically both settings happening simultaneously, which we experienced as teachers a lot of times during that pandemic, where we had some students at home who were learning via Teams or Zoom or whatever platform that you were using, and then you had some in person. And so as a facilitator, you are left having to be supportive of the learners that are on the Teams or the Zoom, and then you're supportive of the learners in that are there in person. So very distinctly different.
Okay. So, and they say we learn something every day. See, mm-hmm. you learned something today. So blended is multiple sessions, multiple ways. Hybrid would be you're both mm-hmm. together at once.
Mm-hmm.
So does Pinellas County Schools offer both?
You know, I don't know about training if we offer them. I know a lot of times in meetings where we're still doing that, where some people are in a meeting either via Teams and then some are in person. Have we offered professional
training? I think as a way of work, initially around the time simultaneous teaching was happening, there was an attempt by some training trainers to do that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way of work is determined. It's not best practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not seeing that as a way of work. I've seen that as an exception to a rule,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe there's a four-night session, and I've seen where there's a four-night in-person session, but something has occurred, like, you know, some extreme circumstance that has prevented someone from being able to attend. And I've seen it where they said, you know what, can I listen in? And, you know, if you're just tonight and I'll be at the next session. And I've seen that happen as a way to sort of accommodate some extreme circumstances, but definitely not a way of work. And definitely the decision lies with the instructor of the course deciding if that's appropriate for the content they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, before we wrap the show, I want to ask you guys, is there anything you'd like to share or would like our listeners to know about just what you guys do as far as, again, helping to develop those quality educators in Pinellas County Schools?
Yeah, I would like to share one more thing, and that is our capacity building professional development system. And you started out the session talking about how the most impactful, the research says, is having that quality educator in front of the students. And that quality educator is someone who has self-efficacy, who really believes in themselves, that they have what it takes to develop and grow their students and have them meet that academic success. And really, our capacity building system here for professional development in Pinellas County is all centered around that. And we redesigned the system this year, and we're wanting to get that messaging out to more people that our ultimate hope as a professional development department is that every teacher believes in themselves, that they have the tools, and that they have exactly what it takes to move our students and to have them reach that success. And if you don't have that belief in yourselves, we want to know what is the barrier to that keeps you from having that, and then we want to provide that. And we want to work with other departments across the district to really ensure that all of our teachers' needs are met.
Yeah, our mission in PD is to inspire excellence in practice that ensures student success. And so we want to model that as a department. So we start with ourselves, making sure that the professional development we're putting out is a model of best practice.
Mm-hmm.
If we're using a digital tool, we're modeling that digital tool for teachers. And so our desire, we have several very lofty goals,
mm-hmm.
but one of them is to become a model district. So we would love to see Pinellas County Schools as a model district for digital learning and 21st century skills as it relates to the professional learning that's going on. So
mm-hmm.
we want to show the rest of the state, to the rest of the districts, like when it comes to professional development and 21st century skills and really integrating technology in your professional learning, we're the district you need to come to see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's our aim.
And we're going to need your help, James,
because
we can't do this alone.
I am here. And so thank you. Thank you both very much. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. As always, remember to like, subscribe, and share. Until next time, enjoy yourselves.
Thank you.